Hello, and welcome to the first of our Spotlight Project podcasts. I'm Kevin Barrett, a GP in Hertfordshire, and the RCGP and Crohn's and Colitis UK clinical champion for their Inflammatory Bowel Disease Spotlight Project. Rachel Fowler is a patient with inflammatory bowel disease. Inflammatory bowel disease, also known as IBD, is a chronic inflammatory condition of the bowels that affects up to 1 in 250 people. IBD can cause a variety of symptoms that include diarrhea, cramping, bleeding, joint pains, eye problems, liver problems, and fatigue. Treatments usually include a range of medications, but many patients end up having surgery to remove affected parts of their bowel. Unfortunately, there is no known cure for IBD. The Spotlight Project is designed to raise awareness of IBD amongst GPs and help support them to investigate, refer, manage, and support patients with inflammatory bowel disease. So hello, Rachel. You were diagnosed with IBD a few years ago. Can you tell us what happened to you, please?
Yeah, so I've actually had issues since I was a very young child. Kind of bowel issues and then kind of suspected appendicitis and gastroenteritis and those kind of things. But it was actually probably about 4 or 5 years ago whilst I was studying in my final year at university, and I think the stress just got a bit too much. I was going to the toilet more frequently. I felt really unwell, sweating, kind of generally had a bit of a temperature, was in a lot of pain. Was told actually perhaps I had a lactose intolerance, cut out dairy. My GP then started kind of pushing me down kind of the testing route. So I had blood tests, which didn't come out with anything. I had a stool test, but that was just a test for infection. Everything came back clear. So he was like, oh, you've got IBS. And I wasn't very kind of confident with that, especially, I had red flag symptoms. I was bleeding. So I was like, I'm just not entirely happy with that. So that's actually when I ended up having to really argue my case to the head of the surgery to say, I really need to be referred to a gastroenterologist, please, can you refer me? Luckily, they listened, so I was. And then 6 months later, I had my diagnosis. So smooth from then, sort of.
Oh, gosh, okay. So with hindsight, do you think your journey to diagnosis could have been smoother?
Yeah, I think if there had been a better knowledge about inflammatory bowel disease, that would have really helped me. I think it can be that when a patient comes into a surgery, it can just be, that's IBS. You know, there are a lot of other bowel problems that can come about and kind of look a bit like inflammatory bowel disease. But if there had been something like a good referral pathway, that would have really helped me. I also think if there had been fecal calprotectin testing, that would have shown something instead of just being tested for just whether I had a parasite or something in my gut. That testing would have been really, really helpful.
Okay. So a combination of lack of awareness, a lack of clear pathways, and a lack of access to some diagnostic tests.
Yes.
Good. Okay. So there must be some good points the care you receive from both primary and secondary care. Can you tell me about those, please?
Yeah. So my GP at the moment is absolutely fantastic. She's very caring, checks up on me, especially when I'm having a flare-up. She's very proactive, which is fantastic. She also kind of contacts my consultant and my IBD nurse, which I really value that because I can try, and if a doctor is also trying, I tend to find that can push that through a little bit quicker. So from secondary care, I also have a really great team. My consultant's amazing. The IBD nurses are fantastic. And especially when, they're really proactive also when you're having a flare-up. But the IBD nurses especially, when you've perhaps got kind of a bit of an odd question, is this normal? Should I be feeling like this? They're really fantastic at being able to answer that for you so that you're not having to, bug the consultant. So that's very helpful.
So it sounds like your GP goes above and beyond the call of duty on occasion. But for the average GP, what do you think would make a difference for them to help their patients?
Well, I think really educating themselves on inflammatory bowel disease, that would be fantastic. And also learning about who you can contact when you do have a patient that's come in and, they're flaring. The fact that you can contact the IBD nurses, the consultant at the hospital, having that kind of port of call, I think any GP should have that, and that will be really helpful for patients.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. The IBD nurses are definitely the key points within the service.
Yeah.
So the survey we conducted at the start of the Spotlight Project revealed that about half of GPs want additional information to help them diagnose and support their patients, particularly when diagnosing and managing flare-ups. So how do you think the Spotlight Project is going to help patients and GPs manage that?
Well, I think it's going to really push inflammatory bowel disease right to the forefront of GPs' minds. So when someone does come into the surgery, they are thinking, oh, could this be inflammatory bowel disease? Instead of just thinking, oh, perhaps it's just IBS or they've got, a parasite. It's it's making them think of that very clearly. We've had like 3 educational events. They were really good, you know, talking about what kind of how to recognise IBD, how to kind of refer patients to the different referral pathways, how to help a patient when they're flaring. We've also built an e-learning module, and that teaches GPs about the different types of inflammatory bowel disease, how to recognise them, how to, again, manage flares, learning about the complications and those kind of things. And then finally, there's a wonderful toolkit, which is a very snappy URL, which is www.rcgp.org.uk/IBD. So that's got lots of top tips, and the GP can then identify and manage things like flares and just general IBD. So that should be something that GPs are thinking about and can pull up and when a patient does come into the surgery. But yeah, I think this project's going to so help that. It's going to hopefully also kind of speed up diagnosis for patients. Hopefully perhaps less patients will go to A&E because they'll then have the confidence that, you know, my GP knows about this. I'm going to go to them instead of having to walk into, you know, the hospital to see someone that can help. So I believe this project's going to be really helpful.
So Rachel, as well as improving the care that patients get from their GPs, how do you think patients get a better experience of care from the hospital team?
Well, I think, you know, touching on what you've just said, having A&E doctors able to identify inflammatory bowel disease when a patient comes in would be great, because I've heard quite a few stories about patients going into A&E when they're having a flare-up and actually just being sent home. Whereas then the consultants found out and gone, oh, I wish you'd told me, because I kind of can, you know, the A&E doctors, if they don't know about it, they then would just send someone home. That's not always the case, but that's what I've heard about. But I do think kind of receiving a better experience of care, as well as educating those A&E doctors, having more IBD nurses, they are amazing. You know, they are so swept off their feet at the moment, so having more would be fantastic. They're such a vital part of the inflammatory bowel disease patient care experience. You know, they can arrange tests, they give advice, as I've previously mentioned, and they really do support patients. And that is something that consultants don't always have the time for, whereas the IBD nurses are really kind of, they can give you that kind of extra hug when you need that, both literally and kind of mentally. So yeah, just more IBD nurses.
Oh, definitely. We've certainly heard that the difference in availability of IBD nurses makes a huge difference to the care that patients get around the country. And travelling around the country to different events, we hear there are obvious gaps in the service. But from your experience, Rachel, what do you think those gaps are, and how do you think we can help close those gaps?
I think one of the biggest issues is that primary and secondary care don't communicate. I really think that that really does need to be improved. It seems that sometimes they only seem to talk over letters, which doesn't really give you a full kind of communication pattern. But also, you know, there also seems to be gaps in what we've realised during the educational events, that a lot of GPs don't actually know how to contact the IBD nurses or anyone at the hospital. So I think some clear ways to contact people and how to communicate between primary and secondary care should be sent out to GP surgeries. You know, if a patient comes in, they're having a flare-up, please contact this number. It's available between these hours, you know, blah, 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 that kind of thing. Another thing I think there's a gap is also kind of the knowledge on what actually to do when someone is having a flare-up. Yeah. So I've been given different types of steroid course lengths. I've been given a week at 30 milligrams. I've been given, you know, trailing down 5 milligrams each day, and that actually doesn't work. So at the end of the 7 days, I'm back at the hospital again. So, you know, if there was knowledge about steroid course length, that would be very helpful. Also, just having a holistic plan, having both GPs and kind of secondary care take into account that there's other aspects of inflammatory bowel disease other than just, you know, your actual gut, you know, that there's also kind of mental aspects as well. And one way to close all of this, I think education. Really, I really do think education. So this project is just going to be great for that. So yeah, I think everyone should go out and have a read, do the e-learning module, you know, educate yourself.
Definitely. The toolkit and the e-learning module also cover all those things. So cover flare management, support for patients, how to help them with employment, which we'll come on to a little bit later on as well. We've talked a lot about the support that that patients can get from primary care, but there are other sources of support they can get as well. What have you found useful on your journey, Rachel?
Well, when I got diagnosed, I was actually just told to go and Google it, which is pretty terrifying because you then find out that you're going to die. And I mean, not literally, but that's what Mr. Google tells you. The best information that I was given was actually from the charity Crohn's and Colitis UK. I actually managed to find it through a friend. I had no idea it existed because neither primary or secondary care told me about it. So I think some education on the fact that the charity exists, it's got fantastic information. It's also written very kind of, most of it is kind of written kind of patient focused, so it's really easy to digest. So really helpful for patients like me. What's also I found really good is being the support from the IBD nurses, especially when I have been having a flare-up and perhaps kind of I found that not only have my bowels gone downhill, but also kind of my anxiety levels go kind of sky high when I'm having a flare-up, which is probably also due to the steroids. But yeah, that's not very good. So having that support from them is great. Also, when I have had issues with my anxiety, I've been pointed towards IAT, Mental Health Access, and you can actually self-refer. So that's been very helpful when I've needed it.
Definitely. The holistic care of patients with IBD is really important for GPs to be aware of. There's a whole range of effects that IBD can have on patients' lives. And lots of patients with IBD are diagnosed in their 20s and 30s when they've just finished university, as your experience was, or just started work, started a career, started a family too. The role of the employer can be really important. So what's your experience like of with your employer and IBD?
Well, I've had some very bad experiences, but I have also had some fantastic experiences, and my current employer is amazing. They have educated themselves. They've also done kind of awareness things where the charity have been involved in, which I cannot express how awesome that is. But my kind of employer really helps me manage my condition by letting me work from home sometimes, which, you know, the fatigue can get really terrible. I have a very long commute, and that actually helps me manage my condition. Also, kind of, employers can help by just also understanding that, you know, you're going to need some more time off, you know, whether that's to get to hospital appointments. I have infusions, so I have to go every 8 weeks to the hospital, and that usually takes about half a day out. So just being really understanding that that is going to happen, if you are kind of giving, you know, your employees' time, they're going to really give that time back to you as well, by being well. But also, you know, going back to the point of working from home, there is nothing like your own toilet. I can't say any more about that. But also, I guess in the office as well, having the understanding that you might need to rush off partway through a meeting. And I know that's not kind of the way that it should be done. You should sit there to the end and you should, you know, finish your point. But my employer is also very understanding that I might just be like, I have to go. I'll be back in 5 minutes. So, yeah, they're great.
Definitely. So having a flexible, understanding employer is key to this. And there are some tools on the website that can help you with that.
Yeah, I have actually. I've given my employer the pack that came from Crohn's and Colitis UK. So they've got one for the employer and the employee. And I handed that employer one to my manager. And she was actually really thankful that I'd given it to her, because that's given her the understanding instead of, I guess, you know, her going to Google and thinking the worst. So that was really helpful.
Yeah, definitely. There's still a lot of misunderstanding that IBD and IBS are the same thing.
Yes, yeah. It's, why can't you come into work? I've heard that, and yeah, it's like, no. I'm really unwell.
Very difficult. So we've heard quite a lot about online resources, but there are some medical resources and online portals that can help you manage your care as well. Are there any that you found particularly useful?
So my hospital actually used one called Patient Knows Best. It's really good because I can access my blood results, put them on there for the IBD team. They can put up anything, kind of my notes, kind of when they've spoken to me. That's really good because then I'm actually being able to see what's going on, how I'm doing. I'm really nosy like that. I love to look at my blood test results. I love to know how I'm doing. That's really helpful. And I know there's other ones out there, MyIBD portal. And there's also other kind of portals out there. So there's the my Crohn's and Colitis Companion. So that's also another one that's really good and helpful.
Yeah, definitely. Patient empowerment and awareness is key to managing these sorts of conditions, isn't it?
I really, yeah, I think, you know, we're talking about how GPs are, they're so vital, but also I think the patient also needs to be proactive with that and to work with the GP, because this is something that has to be collaborative. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely couldn't agree more. So just to recap, Rachel, where can patients and healthcare professionals go for more support and information?
They can go to www.rcgp.org.uk/IBD. And there's also the Crohn's and Colitis UK website as well, which has got fantastic resources. So definitely go and have a look.
Yep, I would second that as well. So we've heard quite a lot today about the role that inflammatory bowel disease nurses can play in supporting both patients and their GPs. In our next podcast, we're going to hear from Vanessa Cambridge, who's an IBD nurse working at the Royal United Hospitals in Bath. Thank you much for listening to us. We'll be talking about the diagnosis of IBD, how to manage flares and support patients in the next podcast.